Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to let people find seats for a second. We started about a minute early. Y'all came out early. At least you weren't late and I didn't start before you. There we go. All right, welcome again this wonderful, cool Sunday morning. I want to start off before I do any announcements or anything. Yesterday we had our Easter event for the public was a huge success.
Amen.
When I looked out and I told the people that came yesterday, when I looked out at the crowd, I couldn't see any of my church family. I saw people that I didn't recognize and didn't know. To me, that was important. That signified that we were able to reach a lot of people. When there were so many people there that they outnumbered the church family, just what a great event it was. And then yesterday, after we were cleaning up, and I got everyone together, and we were thanking everybody for their help, because without the church and without the help of the volunteers, it wouldn't have been a success. But later on, I was sitting there thinking, and I realized I forgot to thank the one who did the most work, who made it happen, and who made it a success. I forgot to thank him. Amen. Without him, our Lord Jesus Christ, that event would not have come off the way it did. We can put in all the work that we want, but without him, we're not going to succeed.
Amen.
So I just wanted to add that praise for him, and again, thank everyone from the church that volunteered and helped. And next year, we're going to try to make it twice as big. Y'all ready?
We're ready.
Good. We'll go through these quick announcements real quick. We have the Spring Plate Sale Committee meeting after church. What's that say? Back room, Travis? Is that what that says? Okay. All right. And reminder, this Wednesday, there's no service. We have our Monday, Thursday service this week. And then, of course, next Sunday, we have Easter Sunrise Service at 7, followed by the Breakfast and Fellowship at 7:30, and then Easter Sunday Service at 8:30. So no Sunday school this next Sunday. And the part I always forget when I say welcome, if there's anybody who hasn't been to the church before or is new, if you look in the pew seats in front of you, there's cards you can fill out. If you'll put those in the offering plate when they come around, give us a little bit of information. We'd be able to contact you. If you want more information from us, give us a call. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you this Palm Sunday in your house to worship you, let us remember what this time of year, this season is to us. It is a time of year that you gave everything yourself, were born again for us, to save us, to give us that pass into heaven, to know that we have eternal life through you, and that all we have to do is believe in you, trust in you, and have faith in you, and everything in our lives will be okay through you. So as we're here this morning, listen to the message, just open our hearts to hear what Pastor Jacob has to say, and to hear your word, and just guide us through our lives. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and join in singing our call to worship. The King is coming. If you'd like to follow along in the hymn book, it's 194. And then we'll join in singing immediately into that, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Standing, please.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, to come into your house to worship you on this Palm Sunday. Father God, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord, and we pray that as we come to return a portion of that you have so richly blessed us with, Lord, that you will take it, multiply it, and use it for the furthering of your kingdom and the spreading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. If you're a visitor, we want to welcome you again to Tramway Baptist Church this morning. This is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. And so, like we've already talked about, Thursday night we'll have Maundy Thursday service. And then Easter morning we'll have sunrise service at 7 a.m., followed by breakfast. It won't be scratch made, but we'll have some Sandra's, some Biscuitville, and some things like that. We still don't have our kitchen. But sunrise service at 7 a.m., then breakfast, and then we'll have worship service in here at 8:30. So we'd love to have you. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We've been working our way through John's Gospel, and we finally made it to 10 this morning. I'm going to give you a second, and when I stop here and pages turned, then I'll open us up in prayer. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We especially thank you for Holy Week and all the different things that transpired that week with your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what it means to us and believers at large. We pray now, Lord, that as we come to the time in the service where we examine your word, we pray, God, that you would use it for your glory and to draw this congregation closer to you. God, please help me to say things that are accurate from your word and help me to say things that bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, or this week, while I was working on my sermon, I got to thinking about renters. Does anybody in here have property that they rent out? Raise your hand. Anybody? All right, well, y'all are all lucky because everybody that I know that has rental property, they always tell me these horror stories. I had some friends at First Baptist that rented out property, and I've had some senior adults that did it at other churches, and it always blew my mind because we'd have these crazy stories about how people would just absolutely destroy the homes that they rented. Have y'all heard this type of thing before? And I would have people tell me that, you know, the renters would leave, and they would come and there would just be huge holes in the floor or holes in the ceiling. There would be all kinds of, the house would just be absolutely demolished. One time I had a young lady that couldn't go on a youth retreat with me because her dad was having to completely rip out all the flooring from the house that they rented to somebody. And I always thought, man, that is so crazy. People just tear stuff up. I can't believe that. You know, I never wanted to own rental property because that would just really, really upset me. But as I was thinking about it, I got to thinking, well, you know, really, everybody treats things a little bit different when it's their own versus when they rent it. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever rented a home before. Okay, all right. So when me and Rachel owned our own home, she would tell you that I'm like a crazy person. If something ever broke at our house, I would just completely lose it. If something broke, I would obsess over it. And I would try to figure out how to fix it. And if I couldn't fix it, I would just get worked up over it, which is a really bad trait for me because I can't fix anything. You know, like, if you're going to be super OCD about your house, you should probably have some skills. I have nothing. So what would happen is something would break, and I would just get bent out of shape for like 2 or 3 days. And it was absolutely crazy because sometimes I would hear noises and be like, what is that? Why is the house making that noise? What is broken? What is causing that? One time I laid in bed and I heard like a dripping noise and I lay there and thought, what if there's a hole in the roof? What if there's a hole in the roof and there's water damage and the whole ceiling is just going to collapse, you know, just crazy stuff. And it was so bad that sometimes Rachel would hide things that had broken from me because she just didn't want to deal with me. And so it's fine. I'm beating up on me, not her. One time, I went to get something from the garage, and I said, I'm just going to go get this thing from the garage. And from across the house, she goes, no, I've got it. I'll get it. And I went, why are you being weird? No, I'll get it for you. I thought, what's in the garage that you don't want me to see? So I opened the door, and I hit the garage button, you know, so I can see. And instead of coming up, the door goes, like sideways. And I went, what is this? You know? And she was like, oh. And I said, how long has this been happening? And she was like, that's news to me. I did not know about that, you know. And then I get out of her. She had hid that the garage was broken from me for like 2 or 3 days because her dad was going to come and fix it. And I said, So your car is trapped in the garage. What if there had been an emergency? She said, I would have just drove through the door. It would have been all right. You know, okay, now. But now we rent a home, okay? And look, I think we're pretty good tenants. If you drive by our house, the grass is mowed. The yard looks okay. We clean. We don't put holes in the walls or anything like that. But it's not the same. I don't sit in bed and worry about. One time, we could hear a pipe had busted somewhere under the house, and we could literally hear water hitting the wall, okay? Like, it wasn't like a trickle. It was like, you know, and we were both like, that is bad. And so it was like nighttime, and I called. I think we had turned the water off just in case, and it was still, we could hear water hitting the wall. And so I called our landlord, and he goes, all right, I'll come by tomorrow. And I think Rachel expected me to just like lose it. And so I go back to the bedroom. We could still hear the water. And she's like, well, what are we going to do now? And I'm like, I'm going to bed. And she's like, you can still hear it. And I'm like, it's not my problem. I called the landlord. He's coming by tomorrow. So you see, even if you're a good tenant, you don't treat stuff the same. For me, it's probably healthier that I'm renting right now. It's less stress. But today, as we look at the scripture, we're going to see how people, even the Lord, treat things different when they own it versus when they don't own it, okay? So let's look at the first part of the scripture. This is John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. Jesus is talking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Okay, now if you've been here the last couple of weeks, what do we see here? There's something special about this passage. Anybody remember? Ah, great. So, okay, good. This is another one of those I am statements that Jesus is making. So if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, in the Gospel of John, there's these seven things that Jesus says. And he'll say, I am, and then bump, bump, bump. And he tells us something about himself. And they're really, really important for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody is trying to tell you who Jesus really is. There's all these books, there's all these opinions, you got people on TV, and they all have their own spin on Jesus. These are important because this is Jesus himself telling you who he is. It's almost like Jesus is saying, this is what I need them to know about me. And so these passages are special because our Lord and Savior is making clear the things that he wants us to know and understand about him, right? And so as we've gone through the Gospel of John, the first one was, I am the bread of life. And that Sunday we looked at how, you know, Jesus fulfills us, never goes bad. He's the thing that we can work for that's going to be eternal. It's never going to pass away. And then the next one is where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we talked about how Jesus draws us out of darkness, you know, how he saves us and sanctifies us and things like this. Earlier in John chapter 10, we're not going to hit it this morning, but Jesus says, I am the sheep gate. And so now Jesus has given us another one. He goes, I am the good shepherd. And they're special because he's telling us who he really is, but they're also special because Jesus is kind of being sly right now. And we've talked about this, I know. But he's pointing back to one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, you remember when Moses is there at the burning bush and God is saying, I want you to go and free my people, go and do these things. And Moses says, well, who is sending me? What if they don't know who you are? You know, who should I tell them sent me? And God, for the first time, gives us his name. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so as we go through these statements, Christ is telling us all this deep stuff about himself, but he's also saying, I'm God. I'm God. I'm the Lord. And that's why they're so important. And so usually when we hit one of these statements, I spend the entire morning trying to dissect it and figure out exactly what he's trying to tell us, right? This morning, Jesus makes it pretty easy for us, okay? Let's look at it. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Here Jesus is saying that what makes him different from the others is that he is willing to die to protect his sheep. Jesus is telling us, I am willing to die. I'm willing to lay down my life for my sheep. Okay, Bible scholars, who are the sheep? Right, this is pretty easy to figure out, right? And so the sheep are us, his people. And what Jesus is communicating is, I care so much, I love you so much, that I am willing to die to lay down my life to protect you. And so I'm studying this passage this week, and I'm like, man, this is good stuff. This is perfect timing. We're entering into Holy Week, and we just happen to hit this passage where Jesus is saying, I love you enough to die for you. I love you enough to lay down my life for you. And so I'm studying it, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's really good, but I don't want to do the same sermon two Sundays in a row. You know, next week is Easter, and we're going to talk about Christ dying for us, Christ laying down his life for us. And, you know, I don't want to do the exact same sermon 2 weeks in a row. You know, I don't want to do the Easter sermon early, but at the same time, this is the passage that we have. I don't want to not do this passage or pull something out of there that's not in the passage, right? So it's kind of like, what do I do? Do I do the same thing twice, or do I focus on something different? And so I'm going through the passage studying this week, and then one of the verses just kind of like jumped out at me, okay? Look down in your Bibles at verse 14. Jesus is still talking, and he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And so I read that, and I thought, well, wait a minute. The first time that I read verses 11 through 13, I thought there was only one difference between Jesus, the good shepherd, and the hired guys. I thought that the difference was that Christ was willing to lay down his life for them because he loved them. But I think there's another difference. Let's read 11 through 13 again. Jesus is talking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So I'm reading, I go, this is the other difference. The big difference between Jesus and these other shepherds is that Christ owns those sheep. He says that, I mean, he doesn't even say the reason the good shepherd lays down his life for those sheep is because he loves them. It doesn't say that. We assume that. That's true. But the reason that it gives us is because he owns them. They're his. They belong to him. Jesus cares more because they're his own sheep. And so the last verse that we read where it says, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, man, I started focusing on that. This thing about Jesus owning the sheep. You know, that's what made me think about being a renter versus being the one who actually owns the house. You treat stuff different when it's your own, right? And so the question that kind of came into my head is, you know, are we one of Jesus' sheep? Does he own us? Are we one of his? Or are we dependent on one of these other hired hands that's just going to flee whenever trouble comes up? And so my question for you this morning, and the focus this morning is, do you belong to the good shepherd? Are you one of his? And before you like say, well, yeah, of course, I belong to the... Yeah, I'm one of the sheep that belongs to Jesus. And then you check out and start thinking about lunch. Okay, follow-up question. Why do you believe that? What would you point to where you would say, see, this is why I have confidence that I belong to the Lord. This is how I know that I'm one of Jesus' sheep. How do you know? Where are you getting that from? Because here's the thing, it's Palm Sunday, right? Okay? During Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into town, everybody thought that they were on Team Jesus. They were all excited about Jesus. And then what? Just a week later, they dropped him like a bad habit and were wanting Barabbas instead of Jesus, right? Sometimes there's people who think that they're on Team Jesus, they're with Jesus, and they're not really with Jesus. And sometimes we can have a false sense of security and think, well, yes, I'm one of the Lord's sheep, when there's really no reason for us to feel like that, is there? You know, when you look at this passage, verse 14, it says, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. I think one of the things that we mix up is Jesus saying, my sheep know me. But there's a lot of people who know about him. And there's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. So when I ask you, are you one of his sheep? How do you know that? If you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know, I go to Sunday school and I go to preaching once or twice a month, and every now and then I turn on David Jeremiah or Andy Stanley, that's not good enough. That helps you know about him, but that does not mean that you know him. Do you understand the difference? Let me give you an example, okay? My all-time favorite athlete, Steve Smith, played wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. I can tell you that he was 5'10". He was usually around like 220 pounds. I can tell you what years he played. I can tell you his stats. I can tell you that he won the Triple Crown one year. Most receptions, most yards, most touchdowns. I can tell you my favorite stories about Steve Smith. I even had a Steve Smith number 89 jersey that I would wear while I watched the games. But guess what? I have never met the man. He does not know that I exist. Has no idea that there's somebody named Jacob Peterson that's a fan of his. And the problem is that there's a lot of people that are like that about Jesus. They can tell you about Jesus. They could throw some Jesus stats at you. They could tell you their favorite story about Jesus. But they have never met the man. And I don't want any of y'all to be in the same category. So this morning, during our sermon, I'm going to give you two places that you can check or that you can point to that will make it clear to you whether you are one of his sheep or not. Okay, you with me? All right, turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. It's near the back. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 4, okay? Here's what it says. It says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Man, that's kind of a tough verse to swallow, right? You know, when I read that, I start thinking, how many commandments am I breaking? How often do I fall short of those commandments? But here's the thing. The question is not, are you perfect? The question is not, you know, are you keeping every single commandment every single time? Are you never falling short? Okay, only Jesus could do that. We know that. So what you really need to ask yourself is, am I sincerely trying to line my life up with God's commandments and God's word? I know I'm messing up every now and then, but am I trying my best to, when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient, line my life up with God's word? Are there things in God's word that I like and I do those, and things that I don't like and I still do those? Or do we have things in God's word that we don't really like, so we just pretend that they're not there? Do we have things in God's word that don't seem practical, that aren't popular, and so we just ignore those, pretend they're not there, or say, well, that was just Bible times? That's the question. And I know that it sounds a little bit legalistic, but the verses in the Bible, and the more that we think about it, it really does make sense. Raise your hand if you have ever or still work with kids. Raise your hand. Okay, most of y'all have worked with kids. So y'all know that there's usually a pretty strong correlation between a parent and how their child acts, right? If you've ever been a teacher, you can make kids behave, but as soon as their parent walks in their room, their behavior completely changes, right? You know what I'm talking about? There are kids who their parents parent this way, and so the kids do this or don't do that, and then different people parent a different way, and their kids act different, and some people don't parent at all, and their kids are monsters, but that too is a reflection of their parenting. I could describe children who were up here yesterday for the Easter egg hunt, and most of you that are here could say, that was that kid, that was that kid. If I said, there was a little boy pretending to be a dinosaur, half of you would go, that's Jacob's kid, right? If I said, there was one little boy who climbed on top of the bouncy house and was doing flips, you would say, that had to be Ken's kid, right? So there is a correlation between how people act and who their parent is. And you can tell whether somebody belongs to somebody. If somebody said, well, you know, somebody in the Sunday school class picked up a book and threw it at Miss Bonnie's head, you would be able to rule some kids out. You would say, well, I know that wasn't Jacob's kid because his dad would handle that, you know. Or if somebody said, a kid snuck in and ate all the snacks, you could say it was probably this kid or probably that kid. There are some people who are claiming to be God's children, and their behavior is not reflecting the Lord as their father. Does that make sense? Does it sound less legalistic like that for you that have worked with kids? There are some people who are behaving in a way where we would go, the Lord didn't teach you that. The Lord's not going to put up with that. And so if you're sitting here this morning, you're going, am I one of the good shepherd's sheep? Am I one of the Lord's sheep? Then just think, okay, when I make decisions, when I live my life, when I'm deciding what I will and won't do or what's going to be important to me, when I look at how I treat people, does that line up with God's word? And if you're kind of in your mind going, sometimes, I don't know, every now and then, that's a red flag. Let's look at the next thing. The second thing that we can check, Jesus actually gives us in today's chapter. Let me read you, this is John chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Jesus says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then look at verse 27. Jesus still talking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, one thing that you might not know about like shepherds and sheep in the ancient world is at night, pretty much everybody piled their sheep into the same pen. So like if I have a flock of sheep and Patsy's got a flock of sheep and Ken has a flock, we don't all have our own pen. That's expensive. Nobody has that kind of money. So what we do is we all throw all of our sheep in the same pen. And the next morning, Ken's going to come up and call his sheep. And because he spends all his time with them, and they're going to recognize him. And the only sheep that are coming out are the ones that belong to Ken. And then Patsy's going to walk up and she's going to call her sheep and all of her sheep are going to go, that's my master's voice. That's the one that I belong to. And they're going to come out. It's almost like I think the same thing can be with hunting dogs sometimes that they get used to their owner's voice. But sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd and they will follow it and they will not follow another shepherd. And what Jesus is saying here is the ones that belong to me, the ones that are my sheep, they listen to me. They recognize my voice. They're led by my voice. And so what this is kind of about is, can you look back in your life and see times where you can say, the Lord was leading me right here? Are there points in your life where you can look back and you say, I feel like the Lord was talking to me here. I feel like the Lord was leading me here. You know, I wanted to do this, but I just felt like the Lord was saying no, or the Lord was saying do that instead. Or are there times in your life where you just really feel like, you know, I was reading God's word that morning and boom, the Lord laid one up. Are there times in your life where you can say, the Lord was leading me right here. God spoke to me right here. God was directing me right here. That's the question, okay? And it's not like you have to hear an audible voice, okay? I don't expect any of y'all to go home today at lunchtime and hear the Lord speaking with like a James Earl Jones kind of voice. But if you have an active prayer life and you're daily trying to spend time with God, then you know what I'm talking about. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and each day you're trying to seek His face, you're spending time in the Word, you're starting your day or your coffee with the Lord, talking about, you know, different things in your life, there's going to be times where He leads you, where you recognize His voice. And for me, sometimes the flip side is opposite too. You know, Jesus says the sheep won't follow another shepherd. They don't recognize His voice. Sometimes when I'm talking to myself, I'll think, you know, I should really do that. And then I'll go, no, that's me being greedy. Or I'll say, no, I don't think that that would be pleasing to the Lord. Or I'll say, you know what, that's not God talking. That's my sinful nature. Or, you know, that person's trying to talk me into that, but that doesn't really line up with what God says. Does that make sense? I guess what I'm really getting at is, if you belong to the Lord, if you're one of His sheep, you're going to have a prayer life. And I don't just mean like you say the blessing for the food at lunch before you eat. I mean, on a regular basis, you're talking with God. You're asking Him to lead you. You're asking Him to direct you. And occasionally you feel like He's giving you a poke or a prod. Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying, okay? Is this making sense to you? One of my favorite pastors, he's dead, he said that if you want to check your spiritual life, you want to take a thermometer and see how you're doing, the very first place that you look is your prayer life. And if it's dead, if it's non-existent, if you can go a whole week without spending time talking to the Lord and you don't really care, it doesn't really bother you, guys, that's a red flag. You need to be worried. And so this morning, as we've talked about it, the question is, am I one of Jesus' sheep? Is my master the good shepherd? Is my Lord King Jesus? Or am I dependent on something else to watch after me? And so the two places we've talked about that you can check is your life lining up with God's commands, because that's what 1 John says. And the second spot is, do you hear His voice? Are you listening for His voice? What's your prayer life like? Do you have a prayer life? And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're kind of bothered and you're thinking, those two things are not really meshing with me. I can go a week without talking to the Lord, and I don't really care. I can go a couple of days without talking to God, and unless somebody reminds me, I don't think about it. Or you look and you say, well, you know, my life is mostly about me. It's not really about God's commands, and that's bothering you. Then I'm going to invite you to talk to the Lord and say, God, if I belong to You and I'm just not where I need to be, then, Lord, draw me back closer to You. Lord, help me get back on track. God, we're going into Holy Week. This is a great time for You to focus on Jesus Christ and Your relationship with Him. Ask the Lord, God, get me back where I need to be. Or, if I never belonged to You in the first place, Lord, I'd like You to be my good shepherd. God, I'd like to put my faith and my trust and my hope in You. And in just a second, we're going to have an invitational hymn. You're free to come and pray at the altar or in your seat, or you can come talk with me.
Invitational hymn is 134, Jesus Paid It All. Stand.